RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Welcome in, everybody, to this Tuesday, December 10th edition of the Landry Football Podcast, brought to you by Radio Influence, and we've got a special offer of a special new member. Actually, is not a new member. It's a longstanding member of this podcast that we're going to tell you about. So, special message, be on the lookout for that. Also, be on the lookout for the holiday savings special at LandryFootball.com. Yes, we look at it as an opportunity to give yourself a Christmas gift or someone, a loved one in your family, a great opportunity to get football information from a coaching and scouting and administrative standpoint all year long over at LandryFootball.com. So check it out today, 50% off. So great holiday gift idea, great holiday gift special. Take advantage of it today over at LandryFootball.com. You got any questions that you want me to address? I'll address it. Just send me a message and I will get to it right here. We are now set with the playoffs and bowl schedule. We are in the last three seasons of the NFL regular season. So a lot going on over at LandryFootball.com and just overall in my world. Coaching search stuff. We've got recruiting coming up in a little over a week, signing day. Obviously, getting ready for the bowl games. We have, again, the stretch run of the NFL season. We've got coaching searches in college. We have coaching searches going on in the NFL. We've got getting ready for the All-Star games for the college players that are declaring for the draft. Who's going to declare officially for the draft? Just a whole bunch of things converging on at once. People ask me about, are you excited for the holiday season? In full disclosure, there is, although spiritually and recognize the religious nature of the holiday season, there is no holiday season for me. It's always been maybe the busiest time of year. And usually on Christmas Day, I'm taking time to prepare for work that I'm involved in on any one of those issues, as well as getting ready for the next couple of weeks ensuing that will be just as busy. So, well, there are no games going on Christmas Day. There is one on Christmas Eve, the Hawaii Bowl. There's just a lot of busy time yet, which is good, which is why you want to get involved with LandryFootball.com and always check us out here on the Landry Football Podcast. A couple of things that I want to get into just overall. I want to talk a little bit about the Patriots situation and supposed taping and talk a little bit about coaching buyouts. We've talked about it before. NFL's talking about reseeding, and, we're going to get into a few of those issues. In terms of the bowl schedule, some interesting matchups. One of the things that has concerned me, and it has for a while, is that while I look at all these bowl games, and I look at it for different reasons, I like to look at, obviously, players that are going to be involved in the draft. I like looking at them. A lot of them are not going to play. Some of them do. But it certainly gives me an idea to study personnel, which my involvement in studying personnel is studying college personnel, studying NFL personnel, and those things are very, very useful in my line of work. It also is important, as always, do constantly evaluating players, evaluating coaches. So, plus, I love watching games. I do think that the games mean something to some of the teams in terms of finishing. It's the first game of next year. But I do admit that just from an overall standpoint, the overall buzz among fans, not what it used to be. I mean, pretty clear that it's just fans are not that excited about the bowl games. It's just not something that resonates I was looking at it, what games might be of interest to fans. Boise, Washington, I'm going in the order of the games taking place. You know, certainly Chris Peterson, his involvement there. Iowa, USC, maybe gets a little bit of buzz with those programs. Iowa State, Notre Dame, maybe. Notre Dame's always a factor. Alabama, Michigan, Auburn, Minnesota, Oregon, Wisconsin, Baylor, Georgia. A lot of the games don't resonate a great deal with a lot of folks. Now, again, I'm excited to look at a Texas and a Utah, but why? I can't really give you a good reason. I just like watching ball. I've said this before. I think that in some of these games it wouldn't matter, but if we use the bowl games as an extension of the regular season and then we picked two teams after the bowl games, or four if you wanted to, I think two would be enough. This game would matter. I mean, it would matter a lot because the conference championships would determine the conference champion. We'd put teams in bowl games that would fit some of the traditions and histories. And then we'd kind of pick the teams after the bowl games, which would mean what? A lot more players would play in the bowl game and not skip it. The fact that players are skipping the bowl games that are coming out for the NFL draft tells you that it's becoming strictly an exhibition. I mean, it's not even, you know, they're going to save themselves for an all-star game where they can prove their wares to scouts. They don't even look at this game as worthy of doing that. That's sad to me. It's one that the bowl games are still great. They still mean a lot to the communities. It brings a lot of money into the communities. Schools do not make money on the bowl games. Except for the big ones, meaning the money that they get goes into the expenses that they pay to go there. So there's not a big financial effort, but it is a reward for staff and whatnot. And there is something to you go to a bowl game. If you're a place like Tennessee and you had, you know, you get to a bowl game, that's a positive step. So I do think there's relevance to it. I just think there would be more relevance if it would be handled a little differently. It's just one of my initial thoughts. And what has happened is the way they're doing it is they're making the two games, basically the semifinals, that's the marquee games. So, yeah, guess what? The Rose Bowl, and they'll tell you that it's great. The Rose Bowl's not where it's at this year. The Sugar Bowl, no. Those are not as relevant. It's not as important. But if you took all those bowl games, particularly the major ones, the minor ones, I mean, Iowa, USC would not be in contention to make the playoffs, okay? But if you take the bowl games and you play them out as if they were extension of the regular season, then all of a sudden, every one of those bowl games are big. The Sugar, the Rose, the Fiesta, the Cotton, Citrus, Outback, you name it. All of a sudden now, you've got the best teams in the best bowl games. You certainly have some tie-ins, but not as many. The tie-ins would be maybe the traditional old ones, but not, you know, the conference champion would get first consideration going to the Rose or the Sugar with the tie-ins. But not the second, third place team is guaranteed this or that. You can guarantee certain monies to each conference, but you'd put an environment where all of a sudden bowl games would be real. I mean, how big do you think, let's say, the conference championship games were? Can you imagine extending that out to a bowl game where you're not playing a team within their conference, you're playing a team across the country that's going to basically shape or have an impact in shaping where you stack up into the national sense? So, look, I think that it's a pet peeve of mine. We've lost the impact of the bowl games, and I think that's a shame. And I think furthering, you know, what we're headed towards eventually is going to eight, to where it's going to further diminish the bowl games because it's going to be the eight teams. So now you're going to have none of these other bowl games are going to really matter. But I do think that there's a better way to do it. but they're not going in that path. So I'm going to stop pounding that to some degree because I think it's a little bit of a futile attempt. I did want to talk a little bit about something that's going on that people are frustrated with. And I've said this before, and I've talked about this before. It's coaching buyouts at the college level. They're aghast at what coaches are getting paid when they get fired. And people are making comments that, you know, that the administrators are stupid, that they shouldn't be doing it. Look, being involved in a lot of coaching searches, I get where that premise is coming from, but you can always tell the comments are clearly coming from people that have never been involved in the process. It's called the going rate. You know, much like when free agency started in the NFL, and I know it takes place in basketball, baseball, hockey, other sports. But let's just take football, for example. And what these players are getting, ridiculous, right? I mean, yeah, sure it is. But that's the market. So what you got as a great player 20 years ago is not even what lower-rung players get today. It's the market. Rising tide raises all ships. It's ridiculous in a lot of people's eyes. Okay. I mean, don't disagree in terms of where you used to see what guys get paid. It's what they're getting paid now. Nobody's worth that up. You know, the market dictates it. The same thing applies to coaches. You don't have to give a coach a buyout. You can sit there and say, we're going to pay you. Look, because this is what fans say. I just pay them based on it. Yeah, we'll give you $1 million. And we'll give you bonuses to where you can make up to $5 million if you do this, that, and the other and incentivize. Yeah, you can do some of that. Good luck finding a coach. Because the same people that say it's stupid to give a guy a buyout that much are the same ones criticizing for, I can't believe they hired that guy. You realize, and it is the result of agents that are representing coaches. They've raised the plight of what coaches make. They raised the plight of what you have to pay assistant coaches and guaranteed contracts there. As a coach, I'm happy for them. You can fire them at any time. You got to pay them out. You don't want to do that? You don't have to. They'll go somewhere else. You're not going to be able to run a program of any status if you're not willing to pay the going rate. So, no, you don't have to pay a huge buyout to a coach. Just say, it's what we're going to pay you, and that's that. You ain't going to get anybody. You're going to be getting a lower-level position coach that is completely unqualified for the job coaching a big-time program. How's that going to go over well with your fan base? And how well is that going to go over with results? It's not. That's the point. So keep that in mind. It's always, well, they should have done that. And it should have, you know, again, people that don't know what this world is like. Look. You don't have to pay the going rate for a guy. You may not like this guy. You may think this is better value. Yeah, they certainly work deals and understand. But once you have kind of a standard and then it just gets risen in the market, that's what it is. Just like, for example, I've said in the past, outside of, you know, and I would never want to be an athletic director, for God's sakes, but outside of football and basketball, why would you even bother spending money? The money that they pay a women's basketball coach or a baseball coach is ridiculous relative to what they make. Now, in some places, having good programs in those sports matter. Some of them, college basketball, women's college basketball, and men's baseball can make a few bucks if they put money into it by spending money on a coach. I wouldn't spend money on a tennis coach, golf coach, because they don't generate revenue. Just let anybody that, you know, has some qualifications that wants to do it. You don't have buyouts or any of that. You know why? Because it's not that competitive. You can buy championships in some sports, but you know, do you think that matters? No, it doesn't. Well, in football and basketball, it matters. Everybody wants their administration to hire the best coach possible, but they don't want to have a buyout. Well, you can't have it both ways. That's the market. The market is set. That ship has sailed. The horses are out of the barn. Whatever cliche you want to use, you're going to pay. Now, I know it hurts when you fire a guy that's been basically an abstract failure, 4 years of program, and you got to pay him out. Yeah, but it's not a question of, well, I can't believe they paid the buyout. No, can't believe they hired the coach. A bad hire is bad. A bad hire is going to cost you. It costs you worse. It's worse when you lose that money. But if you make that same hire and it works, the buyout's not a factor. So what it really comes down to is don't screw up the hire. Don't make the wrong hire. Don't hire a coach that's not going to be as successful. Be able to identify the good coach like you identify the good player. But what you pay them, the market drives it, not you. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or just avoid it altogether, like excuses, like I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find out the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you free, 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Landry and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/Landry to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Landry for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Landry. In the NFL, you have an option. I don't need to be active in free agency. I don't need to overspend for players for their past productivity. I can be wise by drafting young players, have a keen eye for talent and a key eye for developing players quickly, and go younger and become better and become more fiscally responsible. But in coaching, you don't have that option. There's no drafting. You have to just go. Every coach is a free agent. Now, here's where you can do it on your staff. Great elite coaches can take young, energetic guys and develop them and train them and groom them and could be very, very good coaches, whereas others have to hire ready-made coaches. Some coaches can cook the meal and develop it and make it taste good. Others have to go for takeout. So, you know, that's a staff. But hiring the head coach, I laugh at, you know, well, can't believe they pay that guy that buyout. That is what the going rate is. That's what they're all going to pay. Doesn't matter anyway. It's just who they hire. Did you hire the right guy? Now, certainly someone with more proven capability is going to get a larger buyout, and he does, than someone who's a first-time guy. But that's what you're getting at. You're getting at is the price of doing business. So keep that in mind. That just comes with the territory. If you're going to be in business, it's just like saying, well, I can't believe you're paying that much in your electric bill. But dude, that's the price of doing business. I mean, you know, you can reduce the heat or air in your house. I mean, you can adjust to some degree, but you're not gonna significantly reduce it because it's kind of the price of having electricity. The price of food. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not like you think out there. You go hire somebody that's a first-time head coach, unproven guy. Yeah, the buyout's going to be less. You're going to get killed for you hiring somebody who's never done it. you hire someone who's maybe a good up-and-coming coach that's taking maybe a G5 from a G5 job to a P5, he's going to get paid $5 million a year, $4 million a year, and he's going to have a buyout. Maybe not as much as the guy that's more proven, but he's going to have a significant buyout because everybody does. And if you don't want to pay that, you're not going to get him. He'll wait until he gets somebody else that'll do it, and pretty much everybody else will do it. And you'll be looking like somebody who couldn't get it done. So you look at that, and you see certain hires, and you shake your head. What normally what you do is you shake your head and discuss when the hire doesn't work and you got to pay the huge buyout. I get it. But what you're doing is shaking your head for the fact that the guy wasn't successful. Because if the guy was successful, the buyout would not matter. Well, he didn't have to. This guy would have come for less. Yeah, that's easy to say on the outside. You're not negotiating with him. It's a lot different on the inside. So just something I wanted to bring up. And then a lot of talk, not internally, but externally, about reseeding in the NFL playoffs. We're going to face a situation again this year. Every few years we get this. Cowboys or the Eagles. The NFC East is going to end up being the fourth seed and hosting a playoff game against a maybe 13-3 team. Clearly has had a better season, but they're going to have to go on the road. Is it fair? Is it, well, fair and whatever. It's just the way it is. Is it right? Is it smart? Is it? The league wants to continue to emphasize the importance of winning your division. One of the issues that we have is, and it started when we went to four-team divisions, is that you're not going to have, look, in four teams, you have one team that's not very good, really bad, let's say. One team that's injury-riddled, it's a two-team race. So it's not all that special to win a division. That's what we got in the NFC East, right? The Redskins are awful. The Giants are awful. Okay, and then to some degree, there's injuries there. But then you got the Eagles that are injury prone, and the Cowboys that are just not as good as people think, but still better and poorly coached. You got issues. Somebody's got to win the division. Does it merit, if you want to say, you win your division, you get into the playoffs? There's enough playoff spots to where maybe you can justify that. It's a debate that has been around for a while. If you win your division, should that guarantee you a spot in the playoffs? Perhaps. Should it guarantee you a spot in the seeding for home field? That's where the debate is. You're going to penalize two teams, and quite frankly, if you look at the NFC West, there are three teams, including the Rams, along with Seattle and San Francisco, that are better than anybody in the NFC East. Should the Rams be denied a spot in the playoffs because the East is so bad? This is kind of the old strength of schedule discussion in college, but the reality is it's a lot more applicable in the pro game because you truly know with 32 teams what you have and who has what and who has not. It's a reality that needs to be looked at. And I don't know that I have a definitive answer on it in that I do think winning your division is important. I don't know that you want to do it with stipulations, but there's enough playoff spots to where you can, if you win your division, the importance of winning your division maybe get you in there, but maybe it doesn't get you the seeding. The league is not, to this point, made any moves or considerations towards making any changes. They don't feel it's been an issue, a big enough issue. So we'll see if anything happens there. On to the Patriots. On the field, they're struggling a little bit offensively. And the latest thing has come out. I'm sure you've heard about it. Apparently the production crew that deals with doing a TV show that are in-house for the Patriots, it does a series where they go through different facets of the organization, the film crew, the trainers, the in this case, the scouts, what do they do? And, you know, each and every week to prepare. And so apparently there was a crew that was at the Bengals-Browns game that was shooting. What do the advanced scout does? What do they do? Their jobs, and obviously that's who the Bengals are, who the Patriots are playing next week. And the TV crew don't know what's on the tape. There's reports and speculation about maybe shooting the Bengals sidelines or what have you. And that brings about the whole Spygate. There they are doing it again. And listen, the question is being brought up for obvious reasons. There's a history of there, And there's, you know, a lot of people that will cynically, there they go again. A, they're not stupid enough to get caught doing that again. B, really? Are you going to pick the Bengals? That, I mean, no disrespect, but that edge is not there. So, no, there's nothing. The whole Spygate and video crew in a game, shooting signals and matching up, that was legitimacy. That's cheating. This is completely different. It's something the league will look at. But let me just say this. It is stupid of the Patriots organization, TV production-wise, notwithstanding, to be involved in anything like this. If you want to do a TV feature where the scout is up in the press box and he's doing this or that, and maybe talking, that's one thing. When you start to shoot sidelines and this, that is something that should have been cleared by the league, but probably would have been denied because you just don't do that. The fact that you might have some taping of their sideline action and then you're playing them the week before, that just doesn't look well. And it's one of those things where it's not a problem, but the perception is a bad look. And you don't want to go down that path. So I don't think there's anything there. I mean, let me just rephrase. I know there's nothing there, but in terms of the intent, but you just can't put yourself in that situation. It's just dumb. It's just absolutely dumb. Hey, folks, we appreciate you joining us. I'm going to get into, kind of continue the theme. One of the things I want to address on Thursday is going back to some of the, we talked about coaches' buyouts, but how some of these coaching searches differ, being involved in both on the college and NFL level. I want to get into the differences between pro and college searches and how some of the impact of some of these coaching searches are impacted by the boosters and people who want to have their say, because it certainly had an effect in some coaching searches, particularly the Arkansas one. So we're going to get into that a little bit more on Thursday. Reminder again to check out LandryFootball.com for all the latest information around the college and NFL scene, all the film room breakdowns. Breaking down games, obviously we've got 3 weeks left in the NFL season. The draft for the college fans, obviously breaking down all the bowl games, breaking down recruiting, which is a little more than a week away. Been working hard on that. So we've got one-stop shopping football, bringing you the game from a coaching and scouting perspective, all the inside information on all these searches, assistant coaching searches, you name it. We got it covered for you over at LandryFootball.com. Take advantage of the 50% discount that we have that will give you the best information from a coaching and scouting viewpoint. So appreciate you joining us. You got a question, send it to me over at LandryFootball.com, and we'll try to get it right here on this podcast. Appreciate you joining us. Talk to you again Thursday in another edition of the Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy,
Radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans. Experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry. Pro wrestling personality David Penzer. MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan. And strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.